The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. I've read JFK Assassination Fiction by Don DeLillo and Norman Mailer and can tell you that this new novel not only is Mike's best book yet, it's much better than DeLillo's and Mailer's efforts to do justice to the most important event in U.S. history. Kevin Barrett, American activist and radio host. Johnny Moon tells the story of a third grader in a Catholic school who wants to do what President John F. Kennedy asked us all to do. Johnny has told his classmates he wants to go to the moon. In fact, he wants to be the first one on the moon. And so the kids brand him with the nickname Johnny Moon. Sister M&M's is Johnny's teacher. Her sister was in Dallas that day, right up close to the limousine, taking pictures just as it happened. She saw some things that did not get reported back in Johnny's hometown Daily News. Sister M&M's and Johnny and the third grade Sacred Heart class decide to tell the truth about what happened. Harvey Wasserman on Johnny Moon. Mike Pelacek is a master of mixing the ethos of the heartland with great moments in history. His Johnny Moon evokes that time in our national story when getting to our favorite satellite was mated with the generation's coming of age. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelacek.
We welcome you to the New American Dream radio show. As I wrote my intro this morning, I wasn't sure exactly how I'd be doing the show today. You see, my internet has been down for a while. We just moved. Back on the 16th of February, I signed up with Earthling to provide phone and DSL internet in my new apartment. They dawdled, and yesterday they finally told me they can't do it. Makes you wonder why they sold it to me. Too far from the central office, they said. It took them 3 weeks or so to figure it out. They'll eventually refund the money I spent with them, but I won't be getting anything back for all the bike rides, the internet hotspots, or the AT&T transfer fee I had to incur before I was able to switch to Earthlink at all. I told them I thought they ought to pay me the early termination fee that they would have charged me if I canceled service. They didn't go for it, though. Anyway, at this moment, I don't know. Well, at the moment I wrote this morning, I didn't know if my replacement service would be installed by Showtime. Update, it wasn't. I'm doing this by telephone. Thought about doing it from a Wi-Fi hotspot. A couple weeks ago, I did the shows from Dunkin' Donuts. The loud music made it somewhat less than optimal. Trains going by didn't help either. So I figured I might go to McDonald's or something like that, but we decided the phone would be better. We'll go back to Skype next couple weeks, hopefully. I really hope I'll have internet by that time. You know, I talked about some of this same stuff last week. I apologize for that, but it's a lot of them on my mind right now. Our own problems, our personal, local problems, those are always in the forefront, I think. It's human nature. Even though there's people imprisoned, tortured, killed all over the world, I spend my energy and thought on the lack of an internet connection. Seems pretty selfish, but, you know, it's the way I am. It's the way most of us are, selfish. We don't mean it, really. What we need to do is notice that selfishness inside each one of us, and instead of beating ourselves up about it, to look for ways to move past it and help some people. None of us is perfect, because imperfection is part of being human. It's the people who think they are perfect that are the biggest danger to the rest of us, I think. If you think you're better than everybody else, your perception of reality is probably not too clear. In fact, it'd be quite safe to say you're delusional. It's an affliction that's prevalent among those in power over others. Politicians, police, prison guards, others of their ilk, presidents. Without the internet, I've been exposed to more prevarication than usual. We've been forced to listen to the so-called news that's available on what's left of the broadcast channels. Signal, you can hear it, but you realize, that's liars. Well, it sounds kind of like that a lot of the time, but just a sample. It's what broadcast TV is like anymore. We used to be able to tune into a signal and degrade somewhat gracefully. You might have noise in the background, but you'd still be able to hear a little bit of what was coming in. Now you either get the thing or you don't. There's no in-between states. No noisy show. You just get either silence or suddenly it comes in for a minute and then it goes silent again. I think it's a lot harder to listen to than it used to be. We switched to all digital signals, so things are either on or off. No gray area. I think we've gone the same way in economics. That's the super rich and the struggling to get by. Very little in between. The middle class is disappearing or gone. Been many times in history when the division between the haves and have-nots was great. I'm not sure there's been a time when it was larger than it is today. Bob Dylan famously said that when you've got nothing to lose. That's the situation that often pushes the tyrannical regimes out of their position of power. I wonder if we're approaching such a time in America. I wonder if perhaps we're already there. Before I hand this over to my co-host and friend, Mike Palachuk, I want to mention that tomorrow is Lorraine's and my 27th anniversary, and I love her a lot, and I just wanted to wish her a happy anniversary. And now it's your turn, Mike.
Hey, Chuck, happy anniversary to you and Lorraine. I didn't know that. 27 years. Whoa. That deserves a lot of congratulations. Tonight we're going to welcome Tom Sterners. Tom is a poet from who lives in Redding, California. He was born in Denver, Colorado. He's been with us a few times. And Eileen Fleming is going to talk to us from Gainesville, Florida. Eileen is running for office as Congress, House of Representatives, and also she is an author and activist. And there's a few websites or a few Google searches I'd like to recommend. And I won't go into detail about why, but I think they're just important in order to know what's going on in the world. I would recommend Jim Fetzer, Kevin Barrett, their radio show, Veterans Today, Gordon Duff, Always the Nuclear Resister, Nuclear Resister. I think it's nukeresister.org. Also the Catholic Worker Journal, Always Black Op Radio. And there's a video from Information Clearinghouse that I'd like to recommend. It's called Let Your Life Be a Friction to Stop the Machine. It's Let Your Life Be a Friction to Stop the Machine. That's very good, Information Clearinghouse. And also I'd recommend a Google search for the 9/11 Vancouver hearings. Those will be coming up in June. There were some Toronto hearings a while back, and these are the Vancouver hearings. Okay. Today's Duluth News Tribune carries prominently yet another story, a fable about Osama bin Laden and the 40 Thieves. It's an AP story complete with elaborate tale about his living with multiple lives and how those wives were feuding. The CIA employs some dramatic writers, I see. Osama bin Laden died in 2001. He had nothing to do with 9/11. He was a CIA asset. The storyline, though, goes on in our daily newspapers. I remember the morning after it happened, it so-called happened, I had worked overnight at a group home, and I was pulling out of the driveway. It was about 7 o'clock, and I always listened to KFAN out of Minneapolis. It's a sports talk radio show. And the morning crew was talking about this. And, of course, they swallowed it all. And at the end, they said, and he was buried at sea. And that's just so funny. And he was buried at sea. Of course he was. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, you have to just kind of wondering, is this really happening? All that we see around us, all these lies, and we're living right in the middle of it. I guess that it is. And we have that chore or opportunity, however you might see it, to view this all from close up. There was another person who did this back in, it was the time that another empire was rising or falling or whatever you want to say. William Shirer, he was a radio show host in Berlin, and he had the Berlin Diary. And he also wrote a book called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. He was in the belly of the beast for all those important transformative years from 1933 to 1941. William Shirer graduated from Washington High School and also Coe College in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He was originally a foreign correspondent for the Chicago Tribune and International News Service. He was the first reporter hired by Edward R. Murrow for what would become a team of journalists for CBS Radio. Shirer became known for his broadcast from Berlin from the rise of the Nazi dictatorship through the first year of World War II. With Murrow, Shirer organized the first broadcast world news roundup, a format still followed by news broadcasts. The following quote is from William Shirer in The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and he's talking about German society. I think it's important for us to hear this today. He says, a steady diet over the years of falsifications and distortions made a certain impression on one's mind and often misled it. No one who has not lived for years in a totalitarian land can possibly conceive how difficult it is to escape the dread consequences of a regime's calculated and incessant propaganda. Often in a German home or office, or sometimes in a casual conversation with a stranger in a restaurant, a beer hall, a cafe, I would meet with the most outlandish assertions from seemingly educated and intelligent persons. It was obvious they were parroting some piece of nonsense they had heard on the radio or read in the newspapers. Sometimes one was tempted to say as much, but on such occasions one was met with such a stare of incredulity, such a shock of silence, as if one had blasphemed the Almighty, that one realized how useless it was even to try to make contact with a mind which had become warped and for whom the facts of life had become what Hitler and Goebbels, with their cynical disregard for truth, said they were. Well, I remember back the days of Bush, I was standing with a friend outside the high school in Lamars, Iowa, standing across the street holding a sign protesting a visit by George Bush. And we were confronted by young people. You could not help but compare those young people to brown shirts or Hitler youth. You know, back in the time of the Soviet rule, I would think that those folks knew it was fake. And it, by it, I mean newscasts. That's the impression I get. And the impression I get of us is that we have no idea about Time and Newsweek, the nightly TV news, National Public Radio, some certain liberal websites and magazines, and of course the obvious Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, and the not-so-obvious Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Well, basically, wherever you look, TV shows, books, magazines, you will find on the shiny rack just inside the door at Barnes & Noble. It gives you a different view of America than if you would turn that corner and find Jim Fetzer or Kevin Barrett sitting together at a cardboard table signing their books, which you will not. And that's us, and that's why we do this radio show, to try and make some sort of small difference in the world of real history versus fake history. We talk about World War II and labor movements. What if we knew about the labor movements of the early U.S. or the Berrigan brothers or the real stories behind the assassinations of MLK, JFK, RFK? What if we had an honest discussion about whether there really were moon landings? What if people knew who Carl Cabot, Helen Woodson, or Frank Cordero? What if we could actually openly talk about the real story of the anthrax? Isn't that at least as important as a cracked bell? You know, it's not easy to get to the truth on any of these, I suppose, if we actually took time to do so. If you hear Webster Tarpley and Gordon Duff and others talk about what really happened in Libya and why, but at least that's trying to find the truth. The CIA and FBI and Warren Commission and 9/11 Commission, were they faithfully engaged in trying to find out the truth? If they were, we would be evolved light years in this country beyond what we are. Who controls the media, book publishers, movie makers, newspapers, radio, TV? Well, I think we know. You just know that you won't see certain things in certain places, like on National Public Radio, All Things Considered. If all things were really considered, thought about, placed on the table, we would not be such a nation of American idiots. And this I believe. And in closing, in honor of International Women's Day, some quotes by some strong women. I believe the Black Panther Party was dangerous, not because they had guns, but dangerous in showing that it was possible to stand up to power. Angela Davis. All people, especially U.S. citizens, must know what their governments have promoted and the crimes against humanity that they have committed, supposedly in the interests of their nation and their citizens. Awareness must lead us to action. It is everyone's moral obligation. This is Lori Berenson speaking from prison in the mountains of Peru. She's not in prison any longer. She's been released, but I think she still remains in Peru on parole. Love in action has the answer. That's Julia Hill Butterfly, who spent 2 years living in a tree in Oregon to protect that tree. Dorothy Day, the founder of the Catholic Worker on the Lower East Side. words are as strong and powerful as bombs, as napalm. Don't worry about being effective. Just concentrate on being faithful to the truth. Dorothy Day continues, people say, what is the sense of our small effort? They cannot see that we must lay one brick at a time, take one step at a time. A pebble cast into a pond causes ripples that spread in all directions. Each one of our thoughts, words, and deeds is like that. No one has a right to sit down and feel hopeless. There is too much work to do. And finally, this is a letter from a woman who is a tax resister, and it's dated this year, just a few days ago, February 29th, 2012. She's writing to a IRS employee. Dear IRS employee, on this, the sixth year of our refusal to cooperate with the tax custom of the USA, we write to you to reaffirm our stance. During the blatantly corrupt, feverishly murderous administration of George W. Bush, we could not, in good conscience, send monetary support to the government, no matter the consequences to ourselves. Now that Barack Obama, the great hope for this country, has filled Bush's shoes and the killing has increased with carpet bombing of Libya, military operations in Syria, Yemen, Iran, Somalia, the Philippines, and Pakistan, and the continuing occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan, and none of the 1,000-plus military bases overseas closed, and the U.S. military remains the most destructive force on the planet. We hold our commitment to refuse to pay taxes to the federal government with determination. May you find the happiness that is possible by living according to your own principles, as we have found. May you stop aiding in the murder of people, the oppression of human passion, and the destruction of life on earth. Maureen McKenzie. Well, folks, it sounds like Maureen is not afraid. Not afraid of the consequences, not afraid of speaking the truth. We also cannot be afraid.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you.
Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to public school, to America, to your life. We might as well get started. We might as well begin at the beginning. The moon landings were faked. Also, morning recess at 10:15 sharp. You'll wear a coat. You'll line up quietly along the chalkboard when I snap my fingers like that. The FBI and CIA killed John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert. No peeing in the sandbox. Anyone who does so will live to regret it. Please write the Gulf of Tonkin in black pen only across the top of your hand. We'll get to that later. Lunch begins promptly at 11:45. Well, you do not finish by 12 noon, will be packed neatly back into your sack or lunchbox and taken home. Nothing stays in the cloakroom overnight. Nothing. Pearl Harbor is not what your parents think it was. We'll be having parents' Pearl Harbor Day in December, encouraging them to get over themselves. No talking. That goes without saying, right? Good. The FBI and ATF burned children in your age alive at a place called Waco. They blew children your age to bits at a place called Oklahoma City. If you brought your rugs, as you were instructed, you'll have nap time at 9:30 this morning. September 11, 2001, which you may or may not have heard of, was done by your own government to start wars to make money for the wealthy men and women who actually run this country and this world. The word democracy is propaganda itself, as used by the press in the United States. voting and marching in parades down the middle of the street are virtually useless. If you had any sense at all, you would not come back tomorrow. But if you do, we'll learn. We'll understand and we'll grow. And in due time, we'll blow the lid off this pop stand. Now, please rise. As we begin our day, join me in singing Steve Earle's new battle hymn of the Republic, F the FBI.
Just in this late-breaking news brief, the House Un-American Activities Committee will be reconvening next week. The committee will be investigating un-American activities such as the murder of children in Iraq and Afghanistan and the restricting of personal freedoms through the so-called Patriot Act, as well as the infiltration of American organizations by members of clandestine terror groups. Are you now, or have you ever been, a member of the Central Intelligence Agency? Appearing next week before the committee will be Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Matt Lauer, Katie Couric, Diane Sawyer, Brian Williams, and in absentia, Peter Jennings. And also, for what reason we have no idea, we would also like to shout out to those men and women serving in 10,000 countries and municipalities, islands, peninsulas, knolls, glens, gullies, inlets, deltas, fjords, and firths overseas, serving in Berlin and Aachen and Baden and Pfaffen and Mumm, and Dierdorf und Daden und Dasher und Prancer und Donder and Blitzen. We need you. For what reason, we have no idea, but thank you for all you do, and we are pleased to send you 50% of our tax dollars. For what reason, we have no idea. But because you are there and they thank you at ball games and on beer commercials, we thank you for all you do. For what reason, we have no idea.
Our first guest tonight is Tom Stirner, a poet from Redding, California, who grew up in Denver. He's done all kinds of singing, and, well, I'm going to let him tell you about himself. Tom, are you there?
I'm here.
Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born in Denver, and I met a woman on the Internet 3 years ago and moved to Redding because she had to stay here for her daughter to finish school. In a few months, I'll be heading back to Denver where I belong with my kids and grandkids, and got lots of projects planned there with my two sons, music projects and video projects, and Michael Annis and I have a couple things in the fires, and so I can't wait to get back.
Well, are you keeping busy while you're out there?
I am. I've filled notebooks and notebooks and notebooks and screamed and yelled my head off and chased three or four neighbors away. Doing fine.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You doing some screaming from stages?
From what?
From stages. Are you doing a little performing?
No, just with my sons and I are... They're way off into the video stuff, and so they're working some of my things into videos, and then there's a couple crazy ladies on the Internet who do YouTubes and use my stuff, so I'm getting ready to get into it as soon as I got... my sons can handle it, I can't. They can handle all the electronics.
Okay. Well, I hope you're going to share some things with us tonight. You got a couple poems for us, or... Lyrics?
Yeah, I do.
Something?
I have some
okay.
Work. I'm going to start off with a piece that I wrote back when I was playing music with my two sons that I could never get the musicians to behave themselves on the stage because they have no respect for singers, poets. So I explained the concept of etude to them and wrote a piece that I said, I'm just going to do my thing all by myself, and then you guys can just raise hell. And, of course, I can't do the end of it where they raise hell. But I'm going to do my start of it, and then sometime maybe I can get a song in there. You guys can play this great, and they behave themselves. It was cool. So I'm going to start out with that. And I'd also like to mention that if you get a chance, go to youtube.com/Zoodius, Zoodious. That's my youngest son, Zedediah, and he's doing some great stuff with cloning videos and some just really cool stuff. And my son Tom, my oldest son, is a guitar player in the group Illicit Sex. That's I-L-L-I-C-I-T-S-E-C-T-S. You can go to illicitsex.com, and you can see some really good, whatever goes past hard metal, that's what they do. And, of course, my website is wordwulf.com, W-O-R-D-W-U-L-F. And that's how we're collaborating now, my sons and I, because I ran away like I was always afraid they would after a woman in California.
All right. Well, proceed.
Pardon me?
Proceed.
Oh, you ready?
Read, yeah, please.
All right. My heaven is escape me. My heaven is escape me. My heaven is escape me, brother. My heaven is a woman. My heaven is a suckling child. Another man's shame, another man's glory. Yeah. My heaven, he been gone for a while. Ha, 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 ha. That's when they take off. This is
hey,
Esplanade.
Like
there's an angry carpenter building a table without any legs. A mother teaching her children to fetch, sit up, and beg. The dogs of night make a prayer for the lady without any hands as she applauds the one-legged preacher who left his pots in old Vietnam. A little drug angel darling stare into the guns of the raid and the children under the table. Bless their hearts, Esplanade. You'll never know where I'm going until your feet taste the paths I have been. A tear and a cup overflowing, sins of the lost captain's men. I wonder if I might find purchase, a brick or a ring in the wall, a coffin to hang on forever to hear the great sparrows call. There's a chorus of blind singing patriots, flying song without wings. They may lose their direction. They will never forget how to sing. She is an opening flower, a path for the living parade. Lay down in her soft bed of roses to bleed, ah, sweet Esplanade. Maybe the gods do not see them. Maybe the gods' eyes are blind. There is no end to their praying, for surely the gods must be kind. And they hide away from the madman who tells them they are betrayed. He waits for the full moon to take him. Then he howls, howls, Esplanade. Dead poets speak through their silence. They whisper, return nevermore. A child looks in the mirror, wonders, why the hell was I born? Someone has slain all its warriors, tortured the king of its soul. Mother and father are praying in the barroom for pots of its gold. Life is the constant reminder, death, the warrior who waits. Fate owns the face in the mirror, the key to the lock on the gate. So have you noticed her freedom, the laughter behind all her lies, where chaos and order go dancing, and only chaos survives? I walked the shores of her oceans, soft and cold and afraid, followed the paths of her creatures, crossed her vast expanse, Esplanade. I have tasted the breath of her seasons, her bitter root and sweet wine. And though I know she is wounded, I seek her like something divine. As I approach her wound, I am kissing the blood drops her suffering made, my feet caressing her footsteps, my lips whisper sweet Esplanade. She lays her pain out before me, the soft, ragged edge of her truth. I lick the scent of her fire with the misguided tongue of my youth. The scars are written upon me from sleeping too close to the wound. Skin so easily broken, this eggshell side of the moon. And the skies are breaking forever on a sweet violin never played.
where only warriors are dancers on the last grass, Esplanade. I'm breaking bread with the serpent, making love with the mice. There's a game I play with the devil, betting against loaded dice. And I die at the end of my prayer, and my face breaks the earth unafraid. Your heavy stones on my body, I whisper, sweet Esplanade. I have drunk myself into stupid, sung her praises through my whiskey breath. For the tender peace of her body, the long-suffering pain of her death. I keep the peace of her spirit in my pocket, and I sleep with her every night. I hear the wind through the willows and kiss her lips when we fight. But a beggar has set her on fire for a ransom that will not be paid. A thief has stolen her jewels. She suffers it well, Esplanade. There's a ghost haunting my castle. She cries, I think I know why. Her heart is 10,000 times broken. She tries, they won't let her die. So she crawls in my bed of an evening. I find myself reaching for her, struggle to keep me awake, hungry for the love when I reach her, hungry for the love we could make. Courage lies under the blanket. The windows are dirty inside. You cannot see through a mirror, just going along for the ride. She is all that exists. Make myself naked and wade. Follow her down till eternity passes. She is all, Esplanade. All tangled up in my covers, afraid of the dark and the day, I wait till she comes to hold me and chase my darkness away. Then I lay at her breast like an infant, suppled and cozily warm. She covers my seed with the earth of her body to shelter me from the storm. I drink her milk and I bite her, feeding upon her the same. I call her Triangular Mother and know her by no other name. With her blood and milk on my muzzle, I cry in the mess I have made. She wraps me in flowers and powders my ass. She is all, Esplanade. I live in a box in the attic, measure my space 2x2, drag myself out for holiday weekends and photograph pictures with you. Maybe I'll take you there with me, touch with my hands in the dark. Which one is which? I get so damned confused, like a child playing with cards. The best of times I am rolling in fields of flowers and shade, watching the children as they start their journey into her heart, Esplanade. Now here are some what I call snippets. Split the scene between night and day, black and white, life and death. 20/20 blind, shooting ducks with a pea shooter. The next carnival election, watch cannibals and vegetarians, pacifists and warmongers, preachers and bagmen, similar hypocrites and liars all. Ah, how we love them, our alcoholic parents, flawed and helpless, whatever and all, abuse heaped upon us in small comparison to what they do to themselves. No one understands the bitter roots of our lives. Hell hath no fury as a predatory night hunter rises on burning wings to still the flames, survive and avenge itself on the warmongering, baby-eating, dead things, walking bastard bitches that set fire to and are determined to destroy its nest. The ten-penny city awaits. I got your back, brother. Insignificance gathers around one's feet with age, an incomprehensible hobble, causing a hitch in the emotional, mental get-along. There are six levels, up, down, and out of here, and leave here we must, transient faith, a falling star, and a fistful of dust. Whatever was in me is out. I need someone. Come talk to me. Slaying exes with axes, not a viable solution, though enjoyable to contemplate. Wages of sin, bad men dodge taxes, Ford Pinto, lemon meringue pie. The two before I love the most because they are not me. Humping a camel, kissing an elephant. Are you up to it? Step ladders. Nickel stupid, dime rich, unsophisticated youth. Scatter birds, dark feathers, clouds chirping, hitch and cock. Come the geese morning, go the geese dusk. Bad actor, never voted, outlaw, poor citizen. Muff Muncher's hair pie, 69, why not? complex, conflicting emotions, apprehension, sympathy for losers, comeuppance, bigotry, revenge, ant, pebble, pebble, lion, mountain, ant, lion, mountain, sabbatical, a mile away, from nowhere is somewhere, hearing whispers a thousand miles, reflections of the past. He drew a line from the fence, withdrew his offer to share defenses. Know what? Zippity-zum, pistol-packing, spear-chucking, hollow hero. I realize as I get to know you, I forget what I used to know. I like that. Wondering clouds in his aging eyes, maybe it'll rain and they'll go away. His children are lost too far away. He couldn't take them, lions of age. A day at a time, that's what we do. There's something more. No guarantees. We all die on a forgotten sin. Something terrible we didn't let in. Stepfather knows where Mama lies, under the blanket, the bind, the ties. The creed is written as deeds undone, and eyes have seen what eyes will see. It is not the gods, it is we whom torture ourselves so. Shrike, butcher bird. He favors violence, taking out the trash, clatter of cans, opportunity to waste. Fate took my hand, it was your name, essential, external. Don't get up. Don't fall down, sun come rising out the ground. Chicken in the mirror, head picked clean, that bloody face, it won't go away. We have landed where it all began there. It is not violence in and of itself that so terrifies us, but the threat of impending violence, the unknown. How the hell we'll react? That spider thing, one brain, eight legs, eight eyes, night horses, seems that never... The way of seeing it is a guarantee of its occurrence. Three walls, one way to fall, backing up, disappearing, fear of standing, picking up doggy do, pondering distance, very near that smell. Twisted roots, sperm in a spoon, Dr. Diddler mutation, death to puppets, string fingers, bolt, cutter, stick pile. The man, the monster, why are you here? Because a woman wants me to bed her. Small man, call names. I'm like that sometimes. I'm bigger than I was, smaller than I will be. Hello, society, a thousand ways to die. The circle of life, it's so melancholy. She says it is so real, child, so real, and mayhaps all that ever is, he replies. Medium man, middle, little man, dead man. That part behind we all had is a larger part of some than others. I don't care if the cold wind blows, I'm gonna make me a prayer, pray me a prayer, say me a prayer, mark the end of my war. There's a snowflake in my coffee cup. The end just ahead, first decade, 21st millennium, new beginnings in sight, family, friends, future ties, horizon confusing, trees, clouds, and always dead soldiers. If we don't protest as we muddle our way through, we are apt to become that which we ought to have opposed. This jump-high cat in a fury of black plucks a coat from the sky. She is laying on a mirror, lost in her reflection. A prisoner of self, an insecure idolater. Of necessity, perfection is necessarily the means to an end of those whom demand a fit to perception of others themselves. Two boys in a chair, a dog at their feet. The television is on. She desires a cat to curl in her lap, denies herself the pleasure because it has hair. A tree through the pane, curtain V down, instance of filter. 6 degrees to the left and no vital organs would have left him alive, horribly diminished. Reindeer frame. Harness strings, chicken, yolk. If the shoe fits, cop to it. Find its mate, take them home. Morning dogs railing at their yip-yap existence, winter at the gate, ice whiskers. Humans share a tendency to be ruled by the crowd, one at a time. While bending over, she discovered a separate perspective. A board game to his front, book laying aside, alone in the room, she watches the cat. They were 17 last time he counted, and one on the way, his gardens of Eden. woke up today and you weren't there. Closed my eyes to look inside, and there you were. Next door to wonderful family, children, awareness, circle. If man is the salt of the earth, woman is the sweet of it. She has eyes to see me through. I have eyes. I see her, too. Hussy prick, you as in, my wife calls me. I like that when I beat her in backgammon. He heard her laughing, wondered, has the time come, never when, grand and great, that's what she is, my daughter's daughter's daughter. Hair of the dog, ribcage, igloo, winter nights. We shot him once, shot him twice, back down rising, orbs. Time steps away from us. Committing suicide in public, topless dancers, music radio. I feel like I stink. Honey nuts saved by a Cheerio on a grocery list. Man and dog in a garage, mother dead. Children thousands of miles away. Stepdaughter, mother. Yes, mother lost. Tries to remember what once in a while means when he thinks about the time spent with the dog. Young men, old men. The word, the tone, the ambience, the music, the image, the result. Writer's block, divorce, speaking into the coffee spoon, singing with a band, talking to the dog, being alone after life with children, hunting Easter eggs, watching a child spill Mountain Dew off the bridge, watching a duck drink Mountain Dew, the child laughs, and so did I. What does my urine have to do with my blood? If you're going around the world and you're over halfway, you're closer to home than if you went back. I have written higher than ever I imagined I might, flown close to the ground, crashed and died, pick myself up, learn to live again. The only thing about the same about those is they're all different, strange things we miss. Case in point, the day the dog died, she pushed the thought away. Some days later, she went out into the yard to pick up doggy doo, wept like a child, because there was none. Every monster has a voice, Kilpenny. Only idiots who invented the concept of time would believe they could save it, daylight or not, uncivilized thoughts. I prefer dope junkies and alcoholics over sports junkies and social climbers. You can't be both. Chains of authority, peace be damned. Guilt, pro-choice. Murdering neighbor, what hunts you down owns you, is where you are. The dance started at 7. By the time he got there, she had been married twice. Kiss my God gun. I don't know these people, and some of them are me. People with ghosts our past refuse to stand. We're guilty. They cannot execute us. Twitter tripping, fallow, used up my follow. Battles in our minds, debilitating, wears us down in layers, devour us like worms. Ultimate predator.
Excuse me, Tom. Yeah. We have to cut in here. Can you wrap it up, please?
Yes. I thank you, guys. It's been a long time, but it's fun to do this. It's a little strange, and I like that. Visit my son.
Thank you, Tom. We really enjoyed that, and I wanted to cut in for the last 5 or 10 minutes, but I just couldn't because it was so good. But we really have to go now. Thank
All
you,
right. I
and
appreciate
we'll
that.
Have you again.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
And now we bring to Eileen's interview.
Oh, we're not going to go to Eileen. We're just going to go through without that. Lynn and I have to talk.
Okay, fine. Okay? That'll work.
Okay,
great.
And now we bring you the New American Dream Masterpiece Classic Playhouse Theater Something Something. Real voices with a message that you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News.
This is a world where everybody's got to do something. You know, somebody laid down this rule that everybody's got to do something. They got to be something. You know, a dentist, glider pilot, narc, janitor, preacher, all that. Sometimes I just get tired of thinking of all the things I don't want to do, all the things I don't want to be, places I don't want to go, like India, getting my teeth cleaned. Save the whale, all that. I don't understand that. Charles Bukowski, 1987. It was true that I don't have much ambition, but there ought to be a place for people without ambition. I mean, a better place than the one usually reserved. How in the hell could a man enjoy being awakened at 6:30 a.m. by an alarm clock, leap out of bed, dress, 4-speed, shit, piss, brush teeth and hair, fight traffic to get to a place where essentially you made lots of money for somebody else and were asked to be grateful for the opportunity to do so? Charles Bukowski, 1975. The average American citizen, male breadwinner, is a horror to behold. He's a sight to make one vomit blood and gut and hope all out. For even when he smiles, even when he's kind, even when he's a winner, a lover, a father, a playboy, a champ, he stinks. He's rot. He's a flower without a head, a plant without a root, a slab of meat, butchered and dressed in clothing. Charles Bukowski, April 6, 1966. The 9-to-5 is one of the greatest atrocities sprung upon mankind. Give your life away to a function that doesn't interest you. This situation so repelled me, I was driven to drink, starvation, and mad female simply as an alternative. Charles Bukowski. There's nothing to mourn about death any more than there is to mourn about the growing of a flower. What's terrible is not death, but the lives people live or don't live up until their death. They don't honor their own lives. They piss on their lives. They shit them away. Dumb fuckers. They concentrate too much on fucking, movies, money, family, fucking. Their minds are full of cotton. They swallow God without thinking. They swallow country without thinking. Soon they forget how to think. They let others think for them. Their brains are stuffed with cotton. They look ugly. They talk ugly. They walk ugly. Playing the great music of the centuries, they can't hear it. Most people's deaths are a sham. There's nothing left to die. Charles Bukowski, 1998.
Well, it's been another long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Next year, 2013, will be the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. There will be books and movies and specials all about that day, all trying to tell us how we feel and think about that day, when everyone already knows in their gut and their heart how they think and feel about that day. In our town, there are many people who think that Kennedy was killed by Oswald, and that's all there is to it. There are also people who are not insane or retarded or idiots, who know this is not the way it was because they can just feel it in their toes. One of those is Johnny Moon. Johnny Moon has a story of his own, and part of his very own story is the story of that day. November 22nd, 1963, the most important day there ever was and will be, until September 11th, 2001 came, and that is the most important day ever and will be until the day they attack Iran. And the funny thing is, those days are all connected. They are all kind of the same day. The idiots don't know that. They never will. I doubt that I will ever know that. But Johnny Moon knows. Would you like to hear?
someone woke up very early in the morning, went right to the guns to see if they were still there and all right and safe and clean and happy. Someone called someone, talked over a final note that had kept them from sleeping past 3 that morning. Someone else awakened with a smile to think of the cumulative power of all the months of preparations finally coming to fruition. 2 persons worried that all the details were in place. What could possibly go wrong? 1 person woke up at the alarm clock, wondering for a moment where he was, and rolled to the bed table to check departure times once again. Someone else asked someone at the end of breakfast, "But what about the children?" "I'm not sure I know what you're talking about," was the only response, before they crumpled the white napkins and tossed them along with a couple dollar bills on the plates and went off to meet the plane.
Catholic school construction heated up around the United States during the whole first half of the 20th century. People were glad they had survived the Second World War, and everyone was excited to expand, to move into a new place, buy a toaster, and get on with the exciting new prospect of living. And in the 1960s, every burg and town and ville in the Midwest boasted a Catholic block of school, rectory, and convent. The sisters and priests and bishops and parents energized each other to offer a firm alternative to the suggested boogeyman, anti-religion communism. They constructed a cozy campfire of Catholicism in the middle of town and invited all to join, to come sit around the fire and warm their hands and their feet around the pulsating heart of Jesus. Then a Catholic president was elected, and Pope John XXIII called the Second Vatican Council. The United States had recently introduced the universe to nuclear weapons and tied, and the new Catholic president talked about going to the moon. Civil rights in Vietnam turned the cozy campfire into a forest fire. In the heat of it all, the stout soul in the basement, the school boiler pumped proudly, like Boxer, on a frozen Midwest morning. If the mostly unseen boiler did not work, Sister would send a classroom representative flying downstairs, leaping whole sets of steps to tell Mr. Somebody that there was no heat in Sister's room. With no heat, everything rumbled and dragged to a halt. The learning did not go on without the pulsing of the heart of the boiler in the school basement. Next to the school stage in the kitchen where the Catholic daughters made the triangle funeral sandwiches. The school janitor charged downstairs at 5 a.m. by the light of the full moon to stoke the fire. Proud of the task he had been given by the priests and sisters after he moved to town from the farm. The moon, the man, and the boiler, the basics, the fundamentals of Catholic education, worked together to send the heat to what would soon be the sacred symphony upstairs, directed by the celestial exotic nuns who all came from somewhere else to be with these town kids in their snowsuits and 14 buckle overshoes. A tune repeated in hundreds of cities and towns each morning, thousands of lighted flames culminating, generating upward in one big homecoming bonfire of 1960s glory in the United States of America. And that was how life began, out of that primordial ooze of snow slush, flavored with radiation, colored by rambler exhaust and cocker spaniel piss, remembering the past, yet rushing with arms wide toward the future, caught between the Flintstones and the Jetsons, Captain Marvel, My Favorite Martian, The Twilight Zone, Bewitched, Aliens, Roswell, a world wanting to know how far it could go, on the edge of science fiction, of fantastic ideas about time and space and society, race, poverty, war, and religion. These innocents in the upstairs classrooms assumed the best from America. They looked at JFK on TV, smart, handsome, smiling, funny, and just knew they were in the best place and time there ever had been. Or maybe they just assumed it was always this way and always would be. Maybe that was it. Maybe they did not think so much as feel. And when they grew up, not too long from now, they were going to the moon and outer space and to dances and football games, and they were in love. It was just the best place that it was. And it was just going to get better. They couldn't wait to grow up. They so much wanted to be alive, to live. All this and the Beatles, too. And every morning there were the old people at Mass, the persons these young people
were resigned to someday becoming half-kneeling in the back in the shadows, watching the children, someone they used to be watching, hanging their elbows and rosary beads on the wooden pew backs, still confident of their own specialness of being Catholic, of going out in a blaze of glory.
Now, just let me say that Johnny was a fat boy, a fat young boy in the third grade, who thought he could fly because he saw things that others did not. Not because he was so special, just that he cared enough to look. It's true, the world is not as we see it. We see it, but it's different, way different, like that, if you want to know the truth. And the truth is that Johnny could, in fact, fly. But he looked like he could not, and so you might assume that he did not, but he did. He looked less like Superman and more like a fat robin, big boned, wearing buckle overshoes and a snowsuit. But his snowsuit was blue, not red like a robin. So maybe he was a puppet, a flying blue Sesame Street puppet with special powers. A corduroy cap with a button on top and a buckle strap under your chin. A fat young third-grade boy headed down the steps of his home, wearing a snowsuit and buckle overshoes in late November, trying to run as best he could, carrying his sack lunch in one hand, trying with the other to buckle his hat strap under his chin as his mother had just shouted from the doorway. Who took off down the sidewalk, shuffling under all that weight, which actually wasn't all that much, but he thought it was. That's all that ever really mattered. He was inspired. He wanted to do something about it and do other great things, too. He took off from his front porch with his arms up and out, one hand holding that lunch sack, like Superman heading to work. Not that Johnny actually thought he could fly, but he thought some people maybe could, and you never really knew until you put your arms out. He tried it before, so he kind of already knew that much about himself, but he was inspired. He wanted to try again. So he took off again, his eyes wide, his arms out and up. So already they were getting a little tired. Blood draining down his arms to make his face red. He tried to fly, settled for a little running until he got really tired. Then he'd walk. Walk as far as he could, but would that be far enough? He didn't know because he'd never done this before, but he was finally going to try, and he smiled. God damn it! He smiled as he chugged down the broken sidewalk across the street out of the sight of his white-painted home as his mother checked the sky, folded her arms across her chest, and ducked her head against the sudden chill to head back inside. He pinched his chin and gritted his teeth and looked straight ahead, down that sidewalk that stretched straight to forever, almost. He could just see the railroad tracks at a rise in the flat landscape, and he saw the school with the cross atop the church that Johnny told himself, not anyone else, it looked like a radio tower for space aliens. He smiled again, this time only internally to himself. Not to brag, and in case anyone would see him smile too much or too often, send him to the retard workshop, not real school, but he knew he'd make it. He might not exactly fly, but he'd do the other things. He would lose weight, get in shape, maybe go to the moon. He didn't have to be able to fly to lose weight or go to the moon. And he would start by walking to school this morning, no problem. He was an American, and he was special. He just was. What can he say? But still, between Johnny Moon and the school and the church were a few blocks of Russians and communists and UFO space aliens, and chances that he'd go to hell. And fat. Blocks and blocks of being out in the wide open and being fat. There were kids and people with money, and people were not nice, and he'd been told they were there, and told all manners of lies and engaged in deceit and, well, lies and, well, deception. They just assumed kill you, look at you. That was to be either Jack LaLanne or the Tonight Show or I Love Lucy. Yeah, he wasn't not totally certain. Johnny Moon didn't let that bother him because he was special. He was an American and a Catholic, too.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO spring training batting practice pitchers are about average.
We'd like to thank you for listening once again to the New American Dream Radio Show. Come back and visit us same time, same place next week. We hope you'll stay tuned for Len Ossanek and Black Op Radio. He's always got something good for you to listen to. And we really appreciate his producing our show for us, too. Thanks to WorldNewsTrust.com and SpiritualUN.org and June2508.com, the websites for our three sponsors. Thank you, especially our listeners. Thank you, Mike. And good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first. Some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org. The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. I've read JFK Assassination Fiction by Don DeLillo and Norman Mailer and can tell you that this new novel not only is Mike's best book yet, it's much better than DeLillo's and Mailer's efforts to do justice to the most important event in U.S. history. Kevin Barrett, American activist and radio host. Johnny Moon tells the story of a third grader in a Catholic school who wants to do what President John F. Kennedy asked us all to do. Johnny has told his classmates he wants to go to the moon. In fact, he wants to be the first one on the moon. And so the kids brand him with the nickname Johnny Moon. Sister M&M's is Johnny's teacher. Her sister was in Dallas that day, right up close to the limousine, taking pictures just as it happened. She saw some things that did not get reported back in Johnny's hometown Daily News. Sister M&M's and Johnny and the third grade Sacred Heart class decide to tell the truth about what happened. Harvey Wasserman on Johnny Moon. Mike Pelacek is a master of mixing the ethos of the heartland with great moments in history. His Johnny Moon evokes that time in our national story when getting to our favorite satellite was mated with a generation's coming of age. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon.